Continuing on with our series in the Upside Down Kingdom, I want to challenge you this morning about amazing childlike pursuits. A quick review of the end of our last lesson together from verse 6 of chapter 7. And I've had multiple conversations, well, really conversations every day all week long about some of the things that we talked about. And what I've learned through life experience regarding my interpretation of verse 6 is that there are certain qualities of the heart that may affect my investment of all things holy and priceless. This is just kind of wrapping up some things from the end of the lesson last week, and some of you need to hear these qualities again. And I want to say, a person may appear to have it together and be successful with tons of potential, but if he or she does not possess these qualities, then I will guard my heart and my investment level. A person may appear to have nothing together and have a track record of failure with tons of past mistakes, but if he or she possesses these qualities, then I will open my heart and invest like they have all the potential in the world. These qualities that guide my time investment: humility and brokenness, repentance and forgiveness, being teachable and moldable, hungry for change and transformation. Now, I think it's super important that we be reminded of these qualities, because I've had a lot of conversations the last 2 weeks about this struggle between judgment and what it means is this, the differentiate between condemnation and discernment. Because the word judge can be used in both ways. Judge in the original language can mean this condemnation, this I'm better than you, this pontificating, this position of judge and jury. And then at the same time, the word judge has to do with this love of discernment, being able to dissect or understand the components, the ingredients, the different things that are going on. And it's not an easy thing to tell the difference, but especially as we're looking at these qualities. And even some of you this week, as we've had conversations, these four qualities, you're beginning to process those because you're beginning to see the application that you may have someone with a lot of biblical information, a lot of knowledge, a lot of perspective on different things because they've been well-traveled, well-educated. But if you don't see these four qualities in their life or being exuded from their personality, you need to guard and be careful. And I think it's super important as we go into Matthew chapter 7. Let's read verse 7 through 11 together. I'm reading from the New King James, and follow along with me, and let's just jump in to this next set of verses. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Think about the reading of God's word as we move forward. Ask. It means to beg, call for, crave, desire, require. To ask for oneself, or request for oneself. Seek. To seek in order to find. You're not just kind of going around looking, you're seeking in order to find something. Knock. To knock at the door. To knock with the knuckles like a heavy blow. No. Loud. Caitlin, I won't hit the glass. She's watching me walk over here. I saw that. You get what I'm saying? That's what those three words mean when you look at the Greek. This is an intentional, persistent pursuit. It is also, and I want you to focus on this, it's a relational pursuit. I believe as we look at these verses this morning, we need to realize that Jesus is teaching in the context of relationship. Faith and grace established relationship. And he's trying to get us to understand this faith relationship that we have with Father God. And he's using the best relationship that we should have to understand this relationship. It's this earthly relationship. But for some of us, that earthly relationship is damaged. I'll come back to that in just a little bit. So let's view these verses in this teaching of Yeshua through the perspective of a child to a father. So let me just ask you to just roll back up a little bit. And instead of looking at when he goes to a man to his child and looking at the father-child relationship, I want you to go back and look at this asking, this seeking, and this knocking from this relational perspective as a child. I want to just say that this is not a one-time simple request. And please hear me when I say this. Derek, I want to, because you're sitting on the front row, but I will show self-control. Simple request, like, you'll get what I'm saying. Crawling up on the lap of Santa Claus in a department store or a mall during the Christmas season. Not that he looks like Santa Claus. I'm just saying, like, you know. You should hear him breathing up here. He's like, dude, I'm going to knock you off my lap. But think about it. This is what I hear a lot of people, and this is where there's a misunderstanding when it comes to this, because I believe that if we're not careful, we've turned God into the cosmic Santa Claus. Like, during a certain season in our life, we just get on his lap, and we sit there like a nice little child, and we look at him, and we tell him what we want, and then we get off and we walk away like it's a one-time request. Like I sent my note into the North Pole type thing. You get what I'm saying? As a father of three children of our own, I responded differently to my children when they asked me, please hear me when I say this, when they asked me for whimsical things on the spur of the moment. They would often put intense, immediate pressure on me in a particular place or moment. If I just wrote it out, the urge on their part would go away. It's almost like they would forget about it once the urge had passed. I'm just telling you, as a dad, all three of my kids, there'd be different situations, so they would get these urges, they would get these, there would be different things, and I'm just telling you, it was like, dad, 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 and they would take me over, they'd point at the thing, can I have that, please, please, oh God. I'm not saying it was Jacqueline, but it was the other two, okay, probably the other two more. I'm just saying, you're sitting next to Derek, it's just, so anyway. You get what I'm saying? And some of you as parents, what you have to do is you have to be the parent and you have to be strong during those times because it is amazing. They can, I mean, it's just like an all-out intensive assault at that particular moment. And literally, it's like enduring the offensive. Oh, my word, you know. And it's like, yes, it's just, it's coming more up and it's, oh man, the intensity is, and you sometimes you want to say yes just to get the pressure off. And please hear me, that I think that a lot of times if we're not careful, even in our relationship with Father God, we've got to be really careful about our whimsical requests. Our feel good at the moment, we have these urges. I also responded very differently when my children asked me about something that was very important to them. They would be persistent in their pursuit, not just at the moment, but they would be persistent in their pursuit. It was not something that just seemed to pass in the moment of the urge. It was deeper and it was more important to them. And as their father, I got to see things that were super important to them because their requests and their pursuit didn't go away. Sometimes they may ask me for days, weeks, or months. And that, you know what that process did for me as an earthly father? It revealed to me that this is super important to them. And if you're a parent here this morning, you understand this. And some of you, as children to your parents, whether good or bad, you understand what I'm saying because there are those things that we think, man, I want to get, oh, I need, this will change my life. It's like a gum stalk or whirly bird thing that it will make. I will have fun with this forever. You ever got one of those? It looks so cool on the shelf, and you're like, 10 minutes, you're like, whoa, thing is boring. You get what I'm saying? But with my kids, when I found out that it was something important to them, it meant something to me. And there were so many times where I would do what I can do. And because we didn't have a ton of money when the kids were growing up, I would get creative. I remember, and they would always be like, really, Dad? That's really nice. I was thinking about you buying that. I'm like, well, look, I made it for you. You know, what are you thinking of right now? Yeah, exactly. Jacqueline, she was in high school, and she was practicing lacrosse, and man, these nets where you had the pockets and stuff, they were so cool. They were a lot of money, and I felt like they'd used up the trampoline, so guess what I did? I repurposed in the woods in our backyard. It worked, though. Just didn't look like all the others. But you know why I did that? Because I had limited resources. But she had been asking for so long, and she had proven with her effort that there was something that was important, so it was important to me. If a child asks his father for something, the father knows to be hurtful. And some of you, just for any of you teenagers that were here last week and you thought that I was speaking directly to you by some of the things I said, no. I was speaking to everybody. So, but I'm here again. That sometimes you don't understand that as parents, we're trying to guard. We've already made stupid, dumb mistakes. And we may not confess all of those things to you on the level that we've made them. So we're trying to keep you from killing yourself. So we know something's hurtful, the request is denied. The child may be frustrated and unhappy, but when he doesn't get what he asked for, but there should be that level of learning to trust your father. Conversely, when the child asks for something that the father knows to be beneficial, the father will try to provide eagerly because he loves his child. Ask, seek, and knock represents three words: intensity, earnest sincerity, and persistence. Well, four. Earnest sincerity. My heart and mind were impacted by the sincerity, intensity, and persistence of all three of my children when they asked me for something. Now, it's a lot easier with grandchildren. Some of you, you get what I say. I don't have to say anymore, okay? Don't have to be quite as persistent because it's different. How much more do you believe that the heart of Father God is stirred by your sincerity, your intensity, and your persistence? Let me read Matthew 7, 7 through 11 from the New Living Translation. Verse 7, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Your parents, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. Of course not. So if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? So, child asks for bread, white or wheat? No, not white or wheat. Here, take a stone. Have a stone. Now, I do know, and please hear me when I say this, overall the percentage is that there are less of these kind of fathers and there are more of these kind of fathers. The problem is, like with our negative memories, these don't stand out as much as these do. Okay? So the illustration is here, even if us struggling human being dads know how to try to take care of our children, So if they ask for, and you know, fish back in the day, if you read a lot of the New Testament, fish was one of the number one meat sources, unless you were having a banquet event. So just common every day. So I changed the fish to chicken nuggets. Because I'll be honest, I haven't been to a lot of places where the kids walk up and be like, "Dad, can I have fish again today?" Usually when we say, "Hey, do you want to have fish?" So, got chicken nuggets. Child says, "Hey, Dad, can I have chicken nuggets?" Now, I just want you to know that there have been a lot of people that have asked about this church family. Just because we're excited and we do things a little bit outside the box and we have fun together, we ain't doing no snake handling in here. Okay, just so we're clear. I have a lot of props at our house in the garage. Ain't no play snakes out there. Plus, Derek's on the front row. Derek just said it'd be the last time I sit up here. You don't know what I'm talking about. Ask David after the service. He'll explain Derek and snake jokes. Okay, so I got an improv cover. So this represents a snake. Like I said, Tim's not having a snake up here. So my child asked for a chicken nugget, and I'm like, here's a rattler instead. You're like, what is wrong with you, dude? Seriously, there's something wrong with you. So I just want you to think about those. By the way, sometimes when they ask for something, because we're parents and we love, give them a little extra. These are mine. Don't come ask for them. I'm just joking. Come on, Woody. All right, let me give you a string of verses that you can apply to this passage. Catherine, do we have these up, the string of verses? Okay, good. That's probably better because some of you, I'm going to frustrate you anyway. I'm going to try to read these really slow if you want to write these down. That way you have the string of verses. You can look these up on your own. Luke 11:13, if you're writing them down. John 14:14, and yes, I will have these up here afterwards. John 6:38, 1 John 5:14, Romans 12:1-2, Matthew 6:33, Psalm 37:4, and there's so many more to search for, but I just want to give you a string of verses that if you read these in comparison to what we're reading here in verse 7 through 11, I think it will illuminate and help you understand. What I want to do wrapping things up, I want to point out several observations and just chat with you about this section of verses from my years of failure and success. It's natural and normal for us as human beings to interpret these verses like these from a material world standpoint. I understand and believe that there are real physical elements to Yeshua's teaching here. He references a human father and son as well as using real-life physical illustrations. I also believe because he is teaching about the upside-down heavenly kingdom that he is getting us to consider something deeper, someone greater. So I want to give you two words of comparison, and honestly, with both being applicable. I'm not saying one versus the other, because I think that both of them apply. In this passage, I think that we can see possessions, physical, earthly things that we experience. He's using an illustration. He's using earthly possession things. I think that there is an area of relational trust that definitely has to do with all of our possessions. But the other word that I want to use is presence. Because I really believe that in the teaching, if you go throughout the scripture, and especially here, you're going to see that from a relational standpoint, God's presence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a grander, more excellent gift than just earthly possessions. His presence as a possession, spiritual, heavenly relationships. One is very real or natural, while the other is actually more real or supernatural. And if you're here and you've never considered it, I just want to encourage you to just kind of roll back your consideration. And while we are here physically in a physical building and physical bodies and all these things around us, I believe that at the same time, if you study Scripture, there is an even more real, and I say more real because it's the eternal world, that when this physical stuff passes away and our physical bodies are done away with, that we will, every single one of us in here, will live eternally in one place or another. So that makes the supernatural, the eternal, even more real than the physical. And I believe that that is what Jesus is constantly trying to get our attention with. One is finite, while the other is eternal and infinite. Now, if you had a jacked up father, dad, no dad, disconnected dad, I just want to say this is not who our God is toward us. Take it from someone who's learned and is learning the difference. If you don't know my story, don't assume that you know my story until you ask. I understand what I just said firsthand. Father God is a truly good, good father. When a human father is truly connected and leading, then there are tons of things that the child will not understand about what the dad is doing until the child is mature in mind and emotion. Moms and dads, I want to encourage you to be strong, be valiant. The kids are not called to be parents until they're way older and it's time. You are called to lead the family, influence the children, and give them direction. And where they whine, squeal, squall, cry, throw a temper tantrum, you're supposed to know best, not them. I don't care what their feelings are.
Okay, I'm going to go back to my notes here.
Michael Todd started. Think about that. I just want to say at this point, I don't know a ton of stuff about all the details of what's going on in Ukraine. And I hope you understand I'm not trying to make a political thing, but what I have been truly moved by is the stories, the consistent stories that I hear about what's going on. Here's these Ukrainian men and fathers who are doing everything in their power to take their wives and their children out of the country of Ukraine and get them in a neighboring country that's safe. And then these men are going back and they're joining forces and they're going to fight for their country and fight for freedom. But they have protected their women and children first. I don't know about you, but that's an old school thing that I admire in a huge way when I see and observe what's going on there. Men that are looking out for their families. I want you to consider these three components: asking, seeking, and knocking. And this is what I just wanted to wrap things up with. Most of us have a tendency to do one of these three better than others. I want you to think about that for just a minute. And as we're looking at the context of the story, Man and woman were created similar but very different, so their approach to relationship and need is very different. I love us doing the marriage classes. We're having such a good time with the large group that's at our home on Sunday nights. And what's really cool is for us to just celebrate those differences and learn how to capitalize on those strengths. Yeshua is speaking to a mixed group, but the apostles were men. I believe there were also women that were part of this group that followed Jesus, but the guys that are closest to him are actually a group of men. So let me speak to the men. My personality and my perspective as a man is that of these three things, and I want you to understand my heart, I seek better than I ask or knock. You understand what I just said? As a man, for me, now, I do better because I've learned through the years, but I was just a typical guy that when my wife and I first started getting together and we were driving somewhere and I thought I knew where I was going and we'd spend an extra 20 minutes looking for it and she would just say, "Can you just pull over and ask somebody?" That was like a strike against my manhood. Well, I'm not asking anybody. I'm going to find this thing. 45 minutes later, "Do you know where this is?" And I'm just being honest. Asking was not, and across our church family, what I love about the men in our church family, A lot of you understand when we're talking about stuff. How you doing back there, Trey? I'm not talking to you right now. Hey, Vicky. I'm just saying that we don't always do well asking for help. Most of the men in our church family jump on it, excited to help, excited to respond, but to ask for help? What do we think that all of a sudden, just because we have faith in Christ, that we just transfer that to Father God? And then all of a sudden, I become a great asker. Oh, Father in heaven, let me pour my heart out to you. I need help with this, 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 and this. I've actually had guys over the last month say, I feel bad asking God for help in anything. But the seeking part, I can get that. I've been seeking since I was 17, 18 years old. But the knocking part, for me, it may sound silly to you, but I'm scared to knock on the wrong door. I'm scared to ask for the wrong things. Seeking makes more sense for me as a man. So for me to be challenged, and all three of these things need to be what we're pursuing, asking, seeking, knocking simultaneously with that same passion, that same fervor, because we need to learn all three of these qualities. And I think it's awesome because children represent that best. Daddy, 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 over here. Look, let me come on. I grab you, pull you, walk you here. Look, see, pick it up. And they don't know how to knock, but if it was something, they'd be like, that level of persistence. Isn't that a great example for us? Because their heart is pure. They just know you're the parent. This is something that's shiny. This is something that's cool. So I'm going to do everything in my power to get your attention and to be persistent about it. Now, ladies, I'm not going to speak as a lady or for ladies. I've learned something through the years. So which one would you say is more natural for you as a ladies? That was a question that requires a response. I said that I think a lot of guys, is seeking more natural for you more than asking or knocking? Yeah. He said, seeking. Agree. Derek will never sit on the front row again. All right, ladies, which one? Is there one of the three that's more natural for you as ladies? Asking? Okay, that's what I thought, but I thought if I said that, okay. No, absolutely. Because that's what, even back to the illustration, Lori was just, she was dumbfounded. Why don't you just pull over and ask? Because I don't do that. I didn't say that, but I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, I don't do that. Figure things out on my own. I'm going to seek even if we're an hour and a half late. Sure. No, absolutely. And I think that I love your honesty. And we're just going to wrap up with that because you're spot on. That's exactly where we're going. I'm just going to confess that I've been a terrible asker through the years. I have been a consistent seeker through the years. And I've been a part-time knocker through the years. The only way that I learn about asking, seeking, and knocking better in more focused ways is to do it. We have to be willing to make mistakes, fail, learn, but keep learning in our walk with God through failure. Please hear me. Some of you that are recovering religionists, failure is a dirty word in the average church. We only learn by failure. The only way, Rachel, to know Father God's heart toward you is if you keep asking, if you keep seeking, and you keep knocking and you wait for him to respond to you. Now, that's not the typical pastoral answer, because a lot of us in spiritual leadership have been led to believe that I have to give you an answer. Well, guess what? I'm not Father God. I'm one of his sheep like you are. But I do know that in the most personal relationship that we can all have by grace through faith, that the way that you're going to learn is you don't stop asking. You never stop seeking. And you don't stop knocking. Because Father will, when it's time in your maturity, he will reveal to you and show you his heart on a deeper level. But sometimes we cut ourselves off when he loves to hear our requests. And he knows that we're struggling. He knows that we are immature and growing. And in the same way, with the smallest of child, you're not going to try to damage a child that's super young. You're going to try to be tender in their requests. If you take the smallest of children that's learning and you just like kick them to the side and you're brutal and nasty, that's ridiculous. There's no love in that. That's brutality. You're going to try to take them aside and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to get that for you right now. Let's wait till we got some other things we're going to do. And at the end of the day, if they don't understand at that point, guess what? They don't understand. But you move on and you be the parent. Father is even more loving with us. How many of us in here this morning can testify of his grace, his mercy, his long-suffering, his gentleness, his patience with us? Not just, he's put up with so much stupid from Tim Duggins. I'm so thankful. Just this week, this morning, if I'm going to be honest with you, but I'm not going to be honest with you. I'm just going to kind of talk generally. No, I am. We have to be willing to make mistakes. Some of you, please, this is just a little note off topic for those of you that are perfectionists in here. The faith journey with relationship with Father is going to be really frustrating for you because it's not about perfection. It's not about you having your stuff together. Matter of fact, go back to what we started with in Matthew chapter 5. It's about us just saying we're broken, messed up, we're in need. Father, help us, heal us. Failure and learning through our asking, seeking, and knocking is what it's all about. Some of you, you've just stopped. Some of you have quit. Some of you have sort of given up because something was a huge disappointment to you. Some situation did not meet your expectation. And so you felt like God didn't care about you, didn't love you, wasn't on your team. I get that. I've been through that. You talk to anybody that's going to be honest in here, we can all relate to that. But I want to ask you this morning to turn back to God, receive his forgiveness and love, and press into him. Learn and never stop learning. Make the decision today that regardless of your expectation, you will, for the rest of your life, commit yourself to Father God by asking, seeking, and knocking with sincerity, intensity, and persistence. That's how we learn, individually and as a family together. Come to Father God today by faith in what Jesus has done. Return to Father God today by faith in what Jesus has done. Repent and be forgiven by God today. And when you look around at what we have been experiencing, I believe that we are only beginning to see the manifestation of the power and the presence of God. I believe that God, some of us have been praying for years for an awakening, for a revival, for a moving across multiple counties in this region. And we are asking, and we've been asking God to start in us. I've been asking God to start in me, not in you, but in me, to purge and purify and flush out. And so what I am saying to you this morning is that I have committed myself on anew that I'm going to ask and seek and knock like never before. Am I scared? Does it flush out all kinds of things in me? Does it make me look at my weaknesses? Does it make me evaluate all kinds of things? But we're not going to stop. And I'm going to ask him for stuff. And if it's not the direction that he wants me to take, guess what? As I'm asking, seeking, and knocking, guess what's happening to my ears and my sensitivity? So he goes, hey, Tim, over here. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I thought, okay, oh, this is better. Some of you, don't ask, seek, and knock. Start today. Something has devastated some of you, and you've stopped asking, seeking, and knocking. Will you come back to him today? Experience his love, experience his cleansing, experience just his forgiveness. So, Father, I have no clue how you are working in each one of our lives, but I say to you today that we want your kingdom to come and we want your will to be done right here today the way that it would be done in the heavenly realm. Father, we're asking that your spirit would move and that we would respond, that we would say yes to whatever it is. And God, I'm asking for you. Again, I'm asking that you would do great and mighty things that would blow our minds. Father, that you would provide for us individually and that you would provide for this church family, Father. We are seeking you, God. We are going to be persistent in seeking you. And I ask that you would call out people that will seek you like never before. And Father, we're knocking. We're knocking on the door. We're banging on the door. We're begging for you to open, to meet with us, to come in, to show us where we need to go, how we need to walk. Father, we need you desperately. So I ask that you would draw people to yourself, that they would respond to you, that they would respond to what your Spirit's doing, that you would add to your church all over this region in different congregations today, those that need to be saved, rescued, forgiven. So, Father, we need you. And there's somebody here this morning like me that they need to see you differently because their dad, their father figure has kind of wrecked things for them. So I ask that by your Spirit that you would open their heart and mind that you, Father, are not that evil earthly father, and that they would see you as good and loving and amazing. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Let's stand and sing together.